The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, it's a big day in Israel today, isn't it?
Boker Tov, it certainly is a big day with the arrival of President Joe Biden later today. We're going to talk about that. But before we talk about that, Maccabi Games events have already begun, even though the official opening of the Maccabi Games is not until tomorrow evening. I found it very, very interesting that the Maccabi Games has partnered this year with a non-profit organization called Ezer Mitzion. And this is an organization that has a database that has collected up bone marrow donor details.
Wow.
In order to try to connect donors with those people who really need bone marrow samples. We understand that over the years, Ezer Mitzion has succeeded in connecting more than 4,000 people who need life-saving bone marrow transplants, not only in the Jewish world, but indeed also has a database section including Arab and Druze donors and people who are looking for bone marrow in the Arab and Druze sectors. And Ezer Mitzion is connected with, has partnered with the Maccabi Games in order to try to encourage the more than 10,000 athletes who are here from all around the world to give their details into the database so that they can also be part of this amazing program. And I found this to be a really, really
amazing,
positive,
absolutely,
great thing that we'll hopefully be able to increase the information for this bone marrow pool, the world's largest bone marrow pool. So that's really, really pleasing. And I just wanted to mention it, not because it has any relevance to anything at all, but I've been watching this Elon Musk Twitter story. They didn't want him to buy Twitter. They made it extremely difficult for him to get all the due diligence that he needs. And now that he's decided not to buy it, they are suing him for it. I just don't think there's anything more that we can say, is there?
You're so right. You know, when you put it like that, it's quite incredible because they totally vilified him. They completely destroyed the man. They looked up all sorts of things about him. They turned him basically into Donald Trump. Then he walks away from the deal, and then there's a problem.
Yeah, then they're going to sue him. So I think that this case that they've decided to bring against him, I think he's quite enjoying it because as part of the case, apparently he is going to demand that they bring as evidence the information that they refused to bring him in the first place. Anyway, let's just park all of that because
absolutely,
we have got
because it's
American
a big
president.
Day. Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got an American president who is already on his way to Israel. Pictures of him leaving Washington have already been shown in the press. And Howard, I don't know if you've seen any of these pictures of him boarding Air Force One, but it looks to me like he's going to be staying in the hold of the airplane because he's like the pictures show him sort of just with a few steps up into what we would normally consider to be like, I don't know, where you put your suitcases.
So
but apparently these days.
Yeah, I was wondering if he goes in there because it's low and then they lift him up.
Maybe so. I just wondered if it's all empty in the hold now because with all the hassle that's going on in the international travel sector, a lot of people are saying, don't book luggage in or take your luggage on board with you.
Yeah, well,
and
Americans
so
are hoping
the hold's
that,
empty now,
or the
right?
Americans are hoping they'll lose him at Ben-Gurion somewhere.
Well, listen, that's not going to be very difficult, not at Ben-Gurion or not with Joe Biden. But what we do know is that things at Ben-Gurion just after 3 o'clock this afternoon, when Air Force One is set to touch down after Israeli airspace is completely closed in order to facilitate the safe arrival of the U.S. president. He will be here at around just after 3, we understand. And arrangements at Ben-Gurion are different this year than they have been in previous times, and particularly when previous President Donald Trump arrived here. I think we all remember that incident when Ofer Chazan pushed his way forward and managed to get a selfie with the president.
Yes, yes.
And then he put it into the newspaper saying, thank you, Mr. President. He wasn't even supposed to be in the front line to shake hands with the president. So I've seen instructions that have been issued for the arrival today of President Joe Biden. No endless lines of handshaking. The excuse that's being used is that it's very hot, 32 degrees. It's indeed is pretty hot, and it will be hot out there when the plane touches down at Ben Gurion Airport. There will not be endless lines of people to shake hands with the president. I understand that President Isaac Herzog will be on hand to welcome the U.S. president to Israel, as will Prime Minister Yair Lapid and immediate past Prime Minister Naftali Bennett will also be there. I understand the ceremony at the airport will be pretty short, and that the Joe Biden apparently will then move almost immediately into working mode. There will be quite a lot of things for him to do at the airport even before he departs. We understand that the idea of him looking at having an opportunity to see Israel's air defense systems was going to be done at Palmachim Air Base, which is not too far from the airport. We understand that that has all been done away with now in order to make it easier for the president and for his convoy. And so we understand that that will all be done at Ben-Gurion Airport. Apparently, an Iron Dome system has been set up at Ben-Gurion Airport, and he will be able to tour the Iron Dome system. He will also be briefed on other air defense systems before he will then be... And also, I should add, the new Iron Beam laser rocket defense system, which has not yet been released for general use, but is due to be released in the very, very near future. And this will be working in tandem with Iron Dome and, of course, other air defense systems. And that will all be on view for the president at Ben Gurion Airport before he heads towards Jerusalem. The roads will be closed. The headlines this morning in the newspaper do not say U.S. President Joe Biden is due to arrive. No, the headlines say these are the roads that are going to be closed during the president's visit. That is this morning's headlines in the newspaper. But he will then be heading to Jerusalem. And as I say, the path will be clear for him to go there, to get there quite easily. He will head to Yad Vashem, where he will have a brief tour, we understand, of Yad Vashem in Jerusalem. He will also be holding meetings tomorrow morning with Prime Minister Yair Lapid, and he will also then deliver some statements to the press. We understand that the main subject of discussion, the main deliverable of this particular visit by the president, will be what's called a Jerusalem Declaration. Now, this Jerusalem Declaration has been billed as the central part of the discussions between the Israeli and the U.S. governments, and will include the U.S. government's continued support of Israel from a security point of view, will reinforce the idea of supporting Israel and keeping Israel's military advantage in the region, will talk about Iran as a particular threat and the support that the U.S. government apparently will continue to deliver against the threat that is presented by Iran. This is due to be the central part of the whole visit by the President of the United States to Israel. Personally, I feel a little skeptical about this massive Jerusalem declaration. I don't know that it really presents anything new or anything that we haven't seen before. I think that someone came up with the idea in order to try to somehow focus some positive on this visit, which seems to be a visit by a relatively weak president who's come to visit a caretaker prime minister. That's the way that some people are billing this visit. So they've created this central point around which the visit can effectively be structured. So that will be tomorrow. There will also apparently be meetings for the president with opposition leader Benjamin Netanyahu. Apparently that was added to the schedule last month in order to avoid the perception that the U.S. is trying to pick sides ahead of Israel's election, which is due to take place on November the 1st. And then he will finish tomorrow evening. He will also, this evening, there will be an official dinner, a gala dinner, which will be hosted by the President of Israel, Isaac Herzog. And tomorrow evening, his arrangements will be at the Maccabi Games, where he will be accompanied by Prime Minister Yair Lapid and President Buji Herzog, and they will attend the opening of the Maccabi Games, which will be at the Teddy Stadium in Jerusalem. Friday morning will be focused on Palestinian Authority issues. In the first instance, the President will visit the Augusta Victoria Hospital on the Mount of Olives in the on the east side of Jerusalem. Israeli officials have been asked not to attend that particular visit. That is apparently being focused towards the Palestinian side, and no Israeli complications there's been a lot of work to try to avoid any complication on that side. And it's not clear whether he will then proceed to Ramallah for a visit with the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, and then onto the airport. I'm not sure where their meeting will take place, but I'm guessing that he will travel to Ramallah for that visit and then will head directly from there to the airport on Friday to conclude his visit. So that is what lies ahead of us over the next few days. As I've said, I'm a little bit skeptical about exactly what can be achieved and what will be achieved by this particular visit, given the particular the political state in which we find ourselves, and also the state of the general diplomatic life of the land around the world. But of course, I'm interested to hear what you and what the listeners might be thinking about all of this.
Anthony, has Joe Biden, I know obviously he hasn't been to Israel as in the position of president, but in his long political career, has he ever visited Israel before? Do we know?
We know he has visited Israel numerous times. This is certainly not going to be a first visit for him. He's quite familiar with what he will find when he arrives here. So this is really not the first time he's visiting Israel, and he's been here quite a number of times before.
And what kind of entourage is he bringing with him? Do we know that?
I don't know the details of all of those who will be accompanying him. Obviously, the U.S. ambassador to Israel is very central in all of this. He has been in the U.S. to help plan the arrangements, and of course he'll bring his full security team with him. Let's not also forget that from here he flies on Friday to Saudi Arabia, where he will be meeting with leaders of various Gulf countries, the Middle Eastern countries, at that particular visit in Saudi Arabia. So he will be bringing people along with him who are relevant to that particular leg of his visit as well. It's not clear who will be part of his entourage and who will accompany him, but as always with these things, there's a relatively large group of people, and of course lots and lots of security vehicles that will have been bought specially for the occasion, and lots of security around him to make sure that everything goes smoothly.
It was interesting when a number of years ago when Obama was visiting Israel, I happened to be there, and we were in Jerusalem. My brother was getting married at the Citadel Hotel. We had walked down, we were across the road from the hotel, but they had completely blocked off all the roads because Obama was set to be driving past. And people literally couldn't get from one side of the street to another. There was no way around it. It was an incredible, when you see the inconvenience, and I can't remember, they told us at the time how long before the cavalcade drives down, the roads have got to be completely sealed and no one's allowed to cross or do anything. It really does completely, it brings a city to a standstill.
It absolutely does, and it's going to disable Israel a lot over the next few days, not only Jerusalem during the course of this afternoon and tomorrow, but of course, bearing in mind that the entire highway, road number one, that connects Jerusalem to Tel Aviv will be closed from the airport to Jerusalem. And also the parallel road number six, which could potentially be used as an alternative route for people trying to drive between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, is also going to be closed at least for some time during the course of today. So there are many people who would ordinarily go to Tel Aviv or Jerusalem today who've decided to stay home, to work from home, not to try to pick that particular fight, because it is going to be extremely inconvenient and a lot of traffic delays are expected.
Yeah, I just wonder, as you do, to what end. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to talk about this. The presidents of Iran, Russia, and Turkey will be meeting in Tehran next week. How's this meeting being interpreted?
Well, it will be, I think, if I remember correctly, and I'm sure someone out there will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the first international visit that President Putin is making outside of Russia since the start of the Ukrainian war. And it's pertinent and quite clear why he is going to Iran on this particular occasion. What's interesting for me is where Turkey fits into this particular discussion, because Turkey is trying to keep feet in both camps. On the one hand, a member of NATO, and of course housing a lot of US hardware, which is being used to try to check events that are taking place in Russia, and of course, and now more recently, to try to track events of the war in Ukraine. But Turkey, I'm not sure exactly what role they're trying to play. Here's the interesting thing, though. Russia is apparently going to Iran to talk not only about things which are of common interest, as they like to put it, but also for Russia to acquire Iranian drones, which they hope to use in the war in Ukraine. Now, we know that drone warfare has become a huge thing and is being used extensively, certainly in Israel, for spying purposes, for intelligence purposes, as well as for attacking. And it is understood that Russia would like to use these quite sophisticated Iranian drones to acquire them and to use them in the war in Iran, in Ukraine. But also, this is not coincidental in terms of its timing, with Joe Biden being in the region at the same time and that group meeting in Iran. I think that this is a very clear, loud statement about those three countries and their cooperation and what they might be up to in that meeting. We'll hear more, I'm sure, of that meeting in due course. Mm. But I think it's a very significant event.
Absolutely. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, I'm already looking forward to chatting to you tomorrow when we unpack the events that will unfold during the course of today with Joe Biden's visit to Israel. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.